Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Nick Frazier on the ones and twos this morning. Let's say hello to Joe Rex Road, one half of Robbie and Rex Road, also from The Athletic, who is probably like me. I mean, just ready for this week to be done. Long week, SEC Media Days. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Chase, and yes, I am. I got to say, you know, I mean, we actually end up only doing the show one time from Radio Row, but not my favorite. It's not my favorite, but it was cool still, and I feel like people who came to Nashville had a blast. So, you know, I mean, we know every time there's something in the city is going to knock it out of the park. It's just that that particular event is just low on my list.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, it's there's a lot that goes into it, and we'll get to that in a few minutes and some things that came out of that. But the news coming out this morning, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reporting that Kevin Byard has restructured his contract, going to take him down to $11 million base, but the incentives can get him back to $14 million. And I heard the reaction from you and Robbie this morning. I have a similar one. We were just talking about it. I mean, I know there are incentives, but to me, after all of this and all of this discussion in the offseason, it sounds like he took a pay cut.
Yeah, for sure. And without knowing exactly, you know, like what's the nature of the incentives and things like that, for sure, it's a pay cut. I think restructure is not a term that Rappaport should use, because that's so identified now with just, you know, with restructuring without having a penalty, you know, in the NFL, in the world of the flexible existing cap. But one thing about this for sure, I think, is it's coming here at a time with the Titans making a huge signing and then also potentially doing another one, both critical, you know, if they can get George Fant also to help the offensive line. So, this seems to be, you know, just timing-wise, it seems to be tied to that, which is, like we were talking about earlier on the show, it's like that's a time when it's worth a shot, you know, someone in terms of taking a pay cut or whatever you can do with their contract, because it's like, look, this guy coming in can really help us. And Byard has done previous restructures, but those, of course, were not pay cuts.
Right. And so that's where this one just feels different. And you know, the little rant I went on, and I know that Tannehill's restructured, and I think Henry's done one. I mean, you know, we're not getting into the whole fake cap thing, but moving money around, you can manipulate it. I mean, we all know that.
Yes.
It feels like they're always going to Byard, though. This is now the third time he's done this, and so it's like we go through this whole thing in the offseason, and now you're doing it again. I don't get it. I mean, I hope it all works out, and I guess everybody's cool, but you know it's going to come up next week when everybody talks.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what he has to say about it, because when he talked in the spring, it was clear that he wasn't happy. And it was clear that, I shouldn't say that. Not that at the time he wasn't happy, but it was clear that it bothered him to some extent, and I totally get that. Now, but I will say, Chase, like in terms of always going to Byard, I mean, I think sometimes that just has to do with like what your contract is, right? I mean, he had just signed a big deal, a lot of money, and so a lot of times those are the contracts that get messed with. So, again, it's like I don't look at the previous ones really as sacrifices. This one, though, is. This one is a sacrifice. And I hypothesize on this, and I could be totally off the mark, but I do look at, certainly I look at Derrick Henry this way. I think Derrick Henry, and I know right now he's in this running back conversation and he's upset about it, and I get it. But I think, you know, the reality for Derrick Henry, if he goes into the market a year from now, even if he has a really good season, I think it's not going to be to his liking. You know, I think he fits this place, this offense, everything. Like it's a mutually beneficial relationship. And I don't think it's the same exact thing with Byard, because he could be, you know, effective safety, I think, in just about any defense, but he's getting older. And I just look at this, I just wonder if there's a little bit of like this leads to, you know, maybe a better opportunity for him to be on this team and paid next year. You know, again, I'm just speculating on that. But as I think about what went through his head and what the conversations were, I wonder if that's part of it in some way.
Joe Rex Road is with us here on the Chase McCabe Show. So George Fant, as you alluded to earlier, is going to come in for a workout tomorrow. My guess is they get that done with Nicolas Petit-Frere being out for the first six games. Fant's out there. I mean, he hasn't signed with anybody. So how do you view this? I mean, it's obviously a need, but could it in some ways be an upgrade?
I mean, maybe. You get into the 30s and you got a guy who's had knee stuff. That's where you're concerned, and that's probably a lot of the reason why he's available right now. Anytime you can just go get someone right now, you wonder, why is that? But he has been a pretty good player, so I think it's possible it's an upgrade. But that's also, like, if Petit-Frere isn't better when he comes back, and I expect him to be. I mean, I expect him I expect Petit-Frere to be a pretty solid right tackle. I think he had ups and downs as a rookie, as you might expect. I did not come away discouraged from last season overall with him. I do think that he got a little rougher later. But I think Petit-Frere is on a trajectory of being a solid player. So, if Fant's healthy, he's certainly athletic. It's key to have a third tackle you feel good about. And that's the thing. I mean, without knowing exactly where Jalen Duncan's going to end up or how quickly he may be ready, I mean, right now there's a lot of question because Jamarco Jones hasn't been able to stay healthy. So I think it's an important signing either way. And then it's great to me if Fant's good enough that there's a question when Petit-Frere comes back about, who starts. I mean, if there's any question, that probably means the whole offensive line is playing okay. And obviously the Titans need that. The Titans get decent play from the O-line. That's an upgrade. And I think with what they have now in the skill positions, I think that could lead to certainly an improved offensive performance.
Talking with Joe Rexroad. So SEC Media Day is in the books. And today it feels like everybody's talking about Lane Kiffin's comments saying that college football is, quote, a disaster right now. Now, I don't think he's necessarily off base on some things, but it's ironic coming from him, and that has been the backlash, is that, it's interesting that Lane Kiffin is the one that's saying this when he's been popped for cheating a couple of times. What did you make of his comments?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the part of it that and also, just with any coach, who works at a job like he works or gets paid the kind of money, he can move around however he pleases and get paid, go where the most money is. I think if Ole Miss has a good year and Lane Kiffin is attractive to, a bigger school with a bigger budget, I think there's a real chance that, Ole Miss ends up looking like a stepping stone for him. So there is that. But I will say this, Chase, I still appreciate, even though there's some hypocrisy involved in that, I still actually appreciate any coach like Tim Corbin. I heard Corbin with you, great interview last week. I appreciate any, and it's a different situation, but it's the same in that so many coaches are so afraid to just say what they think about this stuff. People are going to use it against you, recruiting poison, all that stuff. I appreciate a coach saying what he actually thinks. I don't agree with it necessarily. I appreciate, Tim Corbin saying what he thinks, because people are going to poke holes in that from the Tim Corbin perspective in terms of, you're giving the kids too much to handle with the money. People are like, well, they should get money. And I agree they should, but there is that side of it. And there are unintended consequences, and there are kids being taken advantage of because they're getting told fake numbers. And anybody out there can say they're an agent. And there are some things that need to happen, not guardrails in terms of a cap, but some kind of formalizing of the process so everybody knows the situation and the playing field. And so from that perspective, I'm all the way in with anyone complaining about that. It is too out of control in some ways.
Yeah, it's 100% out of control. But this is the tough part to be like, if I was a head coach, I don't know if I really would know what to do. Because Kiffin even said in his comments that, we take advantage of it because that's kind of what we have to do right now. But if you want to, isn't that part of the problem and not part of the solution?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the thing. It's like,
this sucks. We need to change this, but we're going to keep doing it until somebody tells us that we have to change it.
Like, well, I'm certainly – you can't afford to not evaluate other people's rosters and be looking to add to your roster from other people's rosters because they're looking at yours. So there's no doubt. I mean, look, it's just like before all this stuff, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. you know, anytime like Alabama, you know, where, you know, Auburn lost the recruiting battle to Alabama, or Tennessee lost the recruiting battle to Georgia, you know, coaches in the losing side were complaining about cheating, but at the same time, they know they have to do the same thing to have any chance with some prospect. So, yeah, it's exactly. I mean, if you're in it, you got to do it, and that's also that's not going to stop.
No, Joe Rexroad is with us. Josh Heupel speaks yesterday. He did address the penalties, and I thought he did a nice job navigating those waters. Because I mean, you knew it was going to come up, but it wasn't his watch. It's just something that he has to deal with. But overall, what did you make of Josh Heupel's comments and the Vols going into this season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Josh Heupel, you know, so I had a different day because I followed Joe Milton around. So that put me in the other side that's cut off to, usually just cut off to like SEC Network or ESPN people or CBS too. Well, CBS for one more year. So one, I got to see like a lot of Heupel too back there. You know, they're all going through all these different rooms. And I did, one thing I do notice with Heupel is, I mean, I think he's just really like a lot more at ease and comfortable and things like that. And like when he says something like, yeah, there's only one UT, one shade of orange, like that's, I love that stuff, you know? Like that's it. I think he's kind of earned a little bit of confidence because of the performance. But yeah, I mean, I think he said all the right things and, you know, and navigated everything correctly. You know, I think that, I think it's interesting kind of also seeing even like the Milton Heupel dynamic. I mean, like Milton's ripping on like his musical tastes and things right. Like that. And watching Heupel kind of hang out with Marty and McGee, like way after they were done taping and just kind of, you know, BSing with those guys and stuff. He just, he's got an air about him of, I'm not saying he was like, you know, not confident, but he, you know, he's not a guy who likes to talk a lot. Right. I mean, he doesn't love interviews, stuff like that. Like, look, yesterday Milton got more requests, like way more, I think, than Heupel did. And I don't think you see that too often, you know, with any player or head coach, unless you're talking like superstar player. So I think that kind of speaks to both guys. But, yeah, Heupel just, I mean, he's done tremendous work under the circumstances. Now the circumstances are over. He doesn't have to worry anymore. Every single recruit he's talked to since he took the job, some other coach and probably a lot of other coaches are like, hey, man, they're going to get 2-year postseason ban. I mean, it's BS, but that's what people do in the recruiting trail. Well, that's over now. That's done. And he's still recruiting well. So what does that mean moving forward? He seems like a guy who's feeling pretty good about things.
I would say so. Real quick, I want, because I didn't exactly hear you say this, and I know it's kind of gone around. Clarify your playoff comments in the next 10 years with the expanded playoff and how many playoffs you think the Vols will make.
I got the Vols making 4 of the first 10 12-team playoffs, and I think that's ambitious. And, like, Robbie thinks I'm probably a little high, but, like, Caroline and Jared acted like I – and they're both like, well, they've never even made one. I'm like, yeah, they haven't made a 4-team playoff. I think the trajectory is that they're going to be right in the neighborhood, knocking on the door most years. So, yeah, you put me down for 4.
I don't think that's completely crazy. Is there a national championship in there somewhere?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. It's like – like, I still have to kind of believe it, or, I mean, see it to believe it when it comes to them having rosters at the level of Georgia and Ohio State and the like, you know? Like, right. You still have to get to another level of recruiting for that. Now, I do think a great quarterback, you know, is Nico in year 3, like a top 10 pick type player? And is that then, and while the roster has continued to get better? You know, I think they could build up to some years when you have that great quarterback. And I think they're going to keep recruiting, you know, quarterbacks. But I still have to see him get them to that level or see a quarterback along with a roster at a good – because we saw what Georgia did them last year. Like, Hendon Hooker was the Heisman front runner, but mano-a-mano across that field, Georgia just kicked their butt. I mean, that's 2 straight years. They just kicked their butt. They're not at that level. So I would not predict a national championship right now, but this sport is going to be judged just like it is now, but it's going to be judged moving forward. Is like, are you in that tournament or are you out of the tournament? I think they're going to be in it quite a bit.
All right. Good stuff, Joe. Hey, appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Joe Rexroad. Robbie and Rex Road Morning 6 to 9, and also does a fantastic job writing for The Athletic. We'll continue this discussion on the Vols. Do you agree with Joe? He says four. Four playoff appearances in the next 10 years of the 12-team playoff. We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.